There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11, 11 listeners.
This is me.
Engage.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome back to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, hosted by TheUniqueGeek.com. I am your host, John, as you'll notice. Although you will hear in a minute, I am not joined by Lee today. Today we actually have a track to share with you, a panel track from last year. This is the 2012 X-Track panel, Do We Still Trust J.J. Abrams? It was recorded at Sunday at 10 a.m., so please forgive us for bad puns. And, well, just in general, always forgive us for bad puns. We do have a couple more things going on here at 50 Days. As you are aware, if you listened to the first podcast, I was completely caught off guard that it was only 50 days to Dragon Con. So we are still finishing lining up several of our track director interviews over the next couple of days. We should start rolling those out. And so in the meantime, hey, stopgap, we got a panel from last year. I actually have several panels to share with you over the course of the 50 days of Dragon Con. So I hope you enjoy them. If not, you know, you can always skip it and go to the next one. This one actually features myself, Lee, J.J. Hawkins from the website of Doom, thewebsiteofdoom.com, and Lost Actor, and as well as many other television shows, most notably for those that are fans of the Kaleidoscope track, which is basically tween. I know people hate it. My daughter hates it. Although she will be a teen this year, so there you go. The show, what's the show I'm talking about? Oh, Shake It Up. Yeah, the Disney Channel Shake It Up. He's also on that. But Lost Actor, for our purposes, Kenton Duty. He played young Jacob on Lost. He's in this panel as well. So again, it's me, Lee, J.J. Hawkins, and Kenton Duty. And we discuss basically everything J.J. Abrams, and also lots of stuff that has nothing to do with J.J. Abrams. In fact, this panel kind of rambles all over the place. Those things. So if you are interested and you want to, you're an experienced congoer and you would like to share your wisdom with the folks here that listen to this podcast, and mostly a lot of newbies, a lot of people that are experienced also listen, but we would like to hear from you. We would like to, if you have just something you'd like to comment on, or you don't want to necessarily be on the mic, as it were, please drop us a line at 50days50days at theuniquegeek.com, and we will try to get back to you. I know that there are a couple people that have emailed me, and I am aware that you've emailed me, and I will be getting back to you shortly about setting up an interview, that'll be great. So, of course, always check us out at theuniquegeek.com and get links to various places where you can communicate with us, and also there's links that we've talked about here for different tracks or sites that are helpful for your Dragon Con experience. All right, well, enough of me rambling. Now more of me rambling. Without further ado, here is the 2012 X-Track panel, Do We Still Trust J.J. Abrams? Until next time, peace.
One of my favorite that I've seen so far. The lady yesterday, though, that made all the props, all of her stuff was really good.
So what do you think about the craziness of this Dragon Con?
Surprisingly, it's not that crazy to me, but that comes from a household of living with three women, so.
What's the biggest con you've been to?
What?
What's the biggest con you've been to?
This one? Other than Disney 23. Which is just really loud because it's all little kids.
This is just loud because of the drunks.
But it doesn't really get loud until about maybe 9:30. at night when the beers just start flowing.
Oh, yeah.
They don't, not that you know anything about that.
Not that I know anything about that from walking through the lobby.
Yeah, you should not.
Hey,
okay.
9:30,
you
know, half hour.
It's okay.
You are now. No. We will make fun of. We will make very much fun of Aaron Poole if he is too hungover to show. What? I didn't do it.
No, that one over there pops a lot.
We'll share this one.
I'm like shifting.
Don't move it.
Okay. It's my luck with my panel yesterday was really funny. We're standing there. I wasn't even touching the mic, and both of the speakers just blew up.
They blew it down.
So from there, we just went. I put my foot on the chair, and we just pretended like it was a Renaissance fair. And we just
projected.
We projected.
Pretending it was Shakespeare in the Park. There we go.
Pretty much.
Okay, we'll get started. He's not. He's not going to be here. The Bendy Irish boy is hung. That's it. Right there.
That's Aaron, yes.
Yeah. These are awesome. Have you guys seen these things? They're called Sing-a-ma-jigs.
Yeah. They were on clearance for like $2 at Target, and I still didn't buy one. A couple of years ago.
You wouldn't buy me a present? And it'll change. And their little mouths move. It's a little scary, actually. I'm sorry. Hey, I'm Lee.
I'm Kenton Duty.
John Boutel.
J.J. Hawkins.
And Aaron Poole. Please, God, somebody get a picture of that and put it up. And it says bye-bye. So we are here to see, do we still trust J.J. Abrams?
No.
Concur.
Yes.
Yes.
Are we done with panel now?
No.
I currently trust what he's doing.
Okay. See, here's
then
my...
Then again, I'm an actor who really wants a job, so...
Whatever you say.
No, I mean, I say no only because I loved Alcatraz.
Yeah, Alcatraz.
Did anybody else watch it?
Alcatraz.
Okay, well, we were this 12 people, I think, doing it, and I loved it. I thought it was a great show. It had a great cast. Sam Neill as a somewhat scary half-bad guy, I loved. It was hard to get the premise. I will get it, but I just really wanted to know what the heck was going on. They left on such a cliffhanger, and I think JJ could have pulled some weight and gotten it. And he didn't. But why do you guys still trust him? Other than, I want another job.
Well, go ahead.
No, I have no idea what I'm going to say. I was just going to wing it.
So was I.
Yeah, I think we all are.
It's 10 a.m. on Sunday.
His track record.
Get ready, it was a long time ago.
His track record thus far. So what has failed?
Alcatraz. All right, you win.
We're done. All right. Okay, wait, what are we talking about? Let's talk about the Matrix.
And Carrie Russell's hairdo for the last season of Felicity failed, but that's not his fault.
That wasn't his fault. He allowed her to cut it. They did do that. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, and I think the next Star Trek movie is going to be awesome. I'm very excited about that. But I think, how long can he keep something? And I think he's maybe figured this out from Lost, because you have even said, went too long. Mm-hmm. And didn't answer everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm fine with him not answering everything, to be honest with you.
Okay, but going too long.
They went too long. But that wasn't his fault. The writers actually had been asking, and the producers, the showrunners for Lost, have been asking for some time, give us an end date. Weird, because normally you don't want to end your show. But in this case, they knew that they were going to be writing themselves in the corners left and right.
Yeah.
And they wanted an end date. And it wasn't until I guess it was ABC Studios, I believe, at that time, finally gave them an end date that they started to tighten up the writing again. So,
they originally only wanted 3 seasons, right? Isn't that what I heard? 3 seasons?
It's 3 or 4, I think.
Did you ever hear? Did they ever say anything to you like, okay, maybe 4?
Well, I can tell you from all the actors' point of views, what happened with us was, my first day on set pretty much tells you the entire story. I walk in, the director goes, do you know who you are? I go, no. And he goes, all right, neither do I. So here's what we should do. No one knew what we were doing a week in advance or anything. You got it that week that you were shooting it. And you then were like, oh, that makes sense. That's why I did that last week.
Okay.
So
I don't know. I worry about it also with Fringe. Derek's badge is right there on the edge of this table. Ha ha. I know what you're here for, Derek. And, yeah. Can you just pass it back? Can we or pass this back to the gentleman in the hat? Whatever.
Here you go. He's going. All right.
Oh, now go the other way.
No. Now we're going in the circle. No. We're going in the circle. Chase him.
Right three. Right to green? Yeah. 90 degrees, what it's in this room.
Thank you, Lee.
You're welcome. I'll see you later. 7 o'clock.
All right. Thanks.
Awesome. 7 o'clock, Warehouse 13 panel, Atrium Ballroom. Woohoo. I think, but that's the issue I think we've had with a lot. I guess that's the question, too, is how much control does he have over that, and how much control does the network have over that? Because I know a thing for Fringe fans is what they're talking about, that it's now 2036. They're like, what? No.
Spoiler alert.
No, that's not really a spoiler alert. That's been all over paper. I am not spoiling anything.
The paper? Who reads the paper?
The internet.
And you so look like
that person.
A very Sam Hurley. People have told you that, haven't they?
I guess so.
Okay. Now they've told you. I said very thin Hurley. Very thin Hurley. I meant that in the nicest possible way, I swear. Oh,
you're starting off early with the foot in the mouth today, aren't you?
Oh, God.
So I'll go back to Fringe.
Yeah, go back to Fringe.
The first season. Again, I think I said this before, and I unfortunately was not on the Fringe panel last night, but
we would have welcomed, yes.
You abandoned
us. We were the Fringe panel last night.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm recording something. Anyway, with Fringe, the first season was a little rough. Started doing the whole monster movie. Same problem I had with Grimm until I sped up a bit. But ever since then, it's been...
Well, and I think that is true, because for fans, we don't want to do Monsters of the Week every week. I don't think. Jump in and talk to us, please. Don't just let us talk. But, well, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I do a lot of the surveys online. I'm on, like, the Fox Viewer panel or whatever, and they're always surveying about Fringe. How do you like the Monster of the Week? Do you like having Monster? I got the impression that it was constantly... that they don't like the serialized storytelling at the network, at the studio. They want it to be standalone, so that for syndication, and that the creative people all want to make this long, convoluted storyline, and they're constantly fighting about it. And that's why I think he has to, like, he has to start with that, build a fan base, and then he has the leverage to...
Well, and I think that is a part of it, too. I didn't know if you're coming. I think the other thing there, though, is, too, that that becomes the question on... how much creative control can you have, and what can you do on that? I think with Lost, ABC very much desperately needed something that was bringing in viewers, and so they gave them a whole lot more creative control. I do know they did back up the money truck for the last two seasons, is my understanding, is they seriously backed up the money truck. It's the Marriott people, you know. They backed up the money truck for that one, because I think they did really want to go, okay, four, we're good at four, and now... keep backing up that trunk. JJ, what do you think?
Well, I think lots of things. About what, particularly? Yeah. I think,
whatever you want to talk about.
No, I mean, I think... it's basically what John was saying. I mean, it seems like we hold... the two things that people tend to hold against him were that Lost didn't end exactly the way they wanted it to, and that Alcatraz didn't go the way they did. But there's no way that... any of us who have been sci-fi fans for a long time thought that the Star Trek reboot was going to work. There's absolutely no way that should have worked.
I didn't.
And the fact that he made a Star Trek film that was as fun as a Star Wars film, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, because he kept it cerebral enough for it to feel like Star Trek, but there was enough playfulness and action that it was also kind of the brainless entertainment that Star Trek never was, which is why. Give the man a camera, let him have his lens flares, and I'm there.
We had to explain a lens flare to my 13-year-old, and now when he watches Star Trek, he goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 12.
But I mean, also, I think with Super 8, he made a Spielberg film. And Spielberg can't do that anymore.
He did make a Spielberg. If you have not seen Super 8, do see it. Get it on DVD. It's a fun, fun movie.
It's streaming on Netflix right now. I saw it right before I left.
Oh, is it?
Con.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, cool. It is a lot of fun, and I think it is. Yeah, you're right. It's a Spielberg movie, and it made sense as a monster. It was actually a scary monster as well. I was a little scared by that.
I think, in Olympic terms, since I'm not completely over the Olympics yet, I think he took a small step on the dismount. I'd say that the ending there was a little more emotion in the script that was earned than was actually earned in the film. But it wasn't enough to destroy the film for me, and I felt like if I had watched it the same age I was when I watched E.T., I probably would have felt pretty much the same.
Well, and I think
because when the Super 8 monster died, and you know they had him on the table, and he was all white, and Elliot was crying. It was horrible.
Well, maybe that gets to why I have trust issues. I have trust issues. Is that I kind of do trust him now with movies. I'm not sure with a TV show. I'm not sure I want to invest that time because I'm not sure I'm gonna get a payoff that I can live with. Does that?
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes
a return on your investment.
Yeah.
And then how much of that is him, and how much of that is the powers that be above him with the money?
Well, I was going to ask, how much does he even really have a hands-on say in everything that goes on at show to show anyway?
I have no idea. Yeah. If you think about it, on Lost, there were the two execs, and they were the only people that even knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the only two that are even talking to the powers that be in ABC. And so, not even their own writing team knew what was happening week by week. They knew what they were writing for the next week, but that was about it. And so, no one had any information at any time.
Right. So I guess that kind of goes to the point that what he does well is put together a cast, puts together a crew, and goes forward with it, whether or not Alcatraz was the right combination. It might have been, in my opinion, obviously probably wasn't. Fox also didn't really do it any favors by scheduling it when it doesn't. Fox never does anybody favors, so
Fox
who cares?
Fox never does anybody any favors.
Unless you're the NFL. Then.
Yeah, that's about it. Fox didn't do it any favors because it didn't. It was in a really terrible, terrible time slot. For those of us that are old and don't do anything on that night, it was fine, but other people do stuff. So.
DVR.
DVR, but I don't know. I guess that's the issue I have is, and I never knew Star Trek. I was terrified going into it because I did not know how he was going to do a reboot with me not waiting for, The City on the Edge of Forever or, X, Y, or Z. And him just a 2-minute speech by Spock did it. And I'm like, I can buy into this. I can be there.
Well, and then all he had to do for a sequel is announce that he cast Benedict Cumberbatch. And then a lot of people are like, fine, we're good.
Yeah. It's kind of like putting Idris Elba in a movie. I'm all right with it.
Sherlock in space. I'm there.
Yeah. So what are you guys looking... Okay, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I just had a question. The feeling I've always gotten with him is that he doesn't really know where he's going when he starts. He has this great idea. Well, a lot of them, really. He's got a great idea. He knows the first 6 months of it or something, or maybe even the first year. But then, like with Fringe, it felt very much like... crap, what are we going to do next? And they don't ever expect to last. Is that the way you think it is, or is that just perception?
Well, I go back to how they were asking for an ending of Lost, It was not necessarily J.J., but it was certainly the writers and the producer, the other producers, executive producers. I think that you're right. He has an idea. It's a good idea. And it's how far can he go with it? I go back with also this same problem with that all writers have, right? If you look at the Harry Potter series, there had to be an end at some point, right? And you have to work your way towards it. And so she had in her mind where she wanted this to end, and the reason why she's not still, because she could arguably just churn money, right, if she wanted to. Not that she needs to churn anymore. But the writers have when you're writing books or you're writing a series, you have the benefit of knowing, I know where I want to go with this. I'm going to end this here. When you're dealing with other more creative when you're more of a business, let's put it that way, you're being, as you said, being forced to try and stretch every dollar out. Why does The Hobbit 4, 6 films
Three.
Now? 12? I think it might be 12 films now.
I believe it's going to be all of 2028.
I will tell you right now that is Peter Jackson's very huge ego, but sorry, that's another panel we'll be arguing about Monday at 2:30. Yeah.
Well,
Well, I'm going to at least say, you know, trusting him with movies, but not with television. Maybe the issue, what the gentleman here left mentioned, is just giving him finite space. Because he does work well with the movies. And he does have, like I said, he has ideas, and you see where he wants to go, but the networks, if they get something and it's hot, it's working, eyeballs are coming to the network, they're going to want to stretch it and milk as much money out of it. It's just that J.J., he doesn't have enough story to fill what the networks might do. He might work better in a miniseries format.
Well, I think also the danger of serialized sci-fi is the fact that you... with Lost, I know they, like you said, they tried to have an ending, but for the most part, when you think about actual sci-fi shows that stretch out well, there's never a really an overarching mystery. And so eventually what happens is you pull X-Files too tight, and then you don't really care anymore. You know, it's like...
Well, I'm going to go with your X-Files comparison, because I think that's great. Chris Carter said, early on, I kept watching X-Files, and I loved it, but I kept thinking... He's got a plan at the end. He's got an outline. He knows where he's going to go with the black oil, and he knows where he's going to go with Samantha, and he knows where he's going to go with this. It took me 5 seasons to go, Chris Carter don't know shit. Chris Carter has no idea, and I need to get over thinking he does. I need to get over thinking he has an outline. I remember when Javier Grillo Max Murach, I can say it. He also did...
say it again.
Javier Gurillo Max Murach.
All right.
No, I can't do it again.
He will appear. Let me say it one more time.
But Javi said, and I don't know if this was true or not, he said there were like 10 things that had to be checked off before they got to the end of the show. If I even thought that that's where they were going... with something like Lost or with Fringe, I trust it more. As you say, finite space, I'm trusting him a whole lot. It's that serialized thing that worries me.
Well, I mean, if there was an overarching mystery on, say, Frasier, of trying to figure out who actually paid for his psychiatry school, then, you know, once you find that out, the series is over, and it wouldn't have lasted 10 seasons. It's when you take away all the juicy stuff that we get into that a series can run longer. You put in, you know... You put in all the extra stuff, and that's when it starts to, that's when you stretch it too far, and...
Don't break yourself. We'll get it later.
Keep
we'll
going.
Get it later. And you stretch it too far, and it gets a little, wobbly.
Well, and I think you're right. I think that's the issue there. I mean, as you say, do you know who you are? No, neither do I. Let's go. That terrifies me. Terrifies me because I'm like, I need to know at least why you're bringing these people on. There needs to be something there. And I, you know, went into Star Trek hoping for the best, expecting the worst, and being ecstatically surprised. I mean, that was one of my Mother's Day presents, was I got to go on Mother's Day morning at 10 a.m. and see it again in IMAX. Because my husband was like, what do you want to do today? I went, Star Trek! And he was like, we just saw it. Don't care! which is also what I did for Avengers this year, so...
Yes,
I'm such a geek. And I breathed one. But yeah, that was it. So, I don't know. Yeah. If you keep trying to stretch it, I guess that's the other thing, too. It's almost like, JJ, why don't you start your own channel? And you are totally in control of it. Then I trust you.
Yeah. Because no one's going to give him a series if he says, I want 3 seasons and that's it. No one's going to invest in 3 seasons. Because they want the option to stretch it out.
You know, and the reason why I pointed at you afterwards is because you had a great idea, which is that... And actually, I don't necessarily agree that that's not true, that they wouldn't say 3 seasons, because there was something that was just really limited. It was on USA, wasn't it?
Political Animals?
Yeah, Political Animals.
Oh,
was it like 11 series?
Yeah.
They might be seeing, they being the powers that be, see that some of these shows go with the British model, right, where you just kind of have a few compact episodes of something and then release it. I mean, there is so much out there right now, so much television that everyone's competing for everyone's, that they can't, with the exception of the big companies, they can't afford to take chances anymore, and so that's why you see a lot of the same things over and over again. You know, somebody like J.J. Abrams with Revolution coming up, that might be a little bit of... a little bit more of a stretch, but NBC at this point needs something. They need anything.
Yeah.
But the But for the most part, it's the same thing, same reality series. I saw something the other day, and it was like, in a new reality series, and it was someone watching people cook. And I'm like, just not anything new about this at all. We've seen this all before. So getting back to a point that I was trying to get to, which is that maybe if we started making these compact series like The Brits do,
Cable does.
Or Cable, yeah. It would work well. And I think maybe that's a format. Maybe he just needs to move to England. Is what we're saying.
Or move the cables.
Move the cable.
Even Falling Skies is doing pretty good. I mean, HBO would be a perfect place to say I want 3 seasons of 10 episodes each. I would take 30 good episodes that I know are going to end well, that I'm going to end to an extent. Then, oh, are we going to get another season? I don't know more. I'm
plus,
good with that.
Plus, it American Horror Story. That's another example.
Perfect example.
And one of the reasons why that series worked, at least for the original, the first season, was for the actors, and the actors they got was because they knew they weren't going to be stuck in a multi-year contract where if something else came up, they couldn't work.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, actors like to work. Is this true?
This is very true. We all very much like to work.
And there's limited number of jobs out there, so...
That's why you got somebody like Jessica Lange and Zach Quinto and Dermot Mulroney on American Horror Story, because I think they went into it knowing, okay, season one is going to be this story. Season two, if we get there, is going to be a totally new story. You may or may not be in it, you know, and we have that option. We can figure that out. I think that's a brilliant way to do it. And reboot American Horror Story this year is supposed to be even better. Again, I have to watch it. I have to DVR it and watch it so I can see sunlight, because it's a really great show. Yeah.
Yeah, all the same time. Mainline it all the same.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Just watch one episode.
Yeah. And then you sit in the corner and, one episode. I thought you meant the entire series all at once.
Over the weekend or something.
Yeah. You sit in the corner
because
rocking
the
back and forth.
Yeah. The cliffhangers that you had in every episode of American Horror Story, you're like, that was sick. What are they going to do next? Okay.
What?
I'm going to hit play.
That's what I was saying. I'm done. See you in a week. Let's do real quick. Who's watched... everyone here's lost Watch, right? Watched Lost, correct?
Try it again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And we already found out Alcatraz was only like 4 of you, correct?
Yeah. How about that? It was all 12 of us who
are here.
We're loving it.
Who's looking forward to Revolution?
Potentially. I am cautiously optimistic, but I always am trying to be cautiously optimistic.
I'm an IT guy, so it's like the reverse of my job.
Yeah, we'll be unemployed.
I want that on Alcatraz. I want a 2-hour ending.
Yeah,
I want a 2-hour movie of the week.
How did it happen? That's
or
all I want to know.
Maybe he can go the Joss Whedon route and just write a comic book.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll be fine.
I see that.
That would be a wonderful comic. You know, actually, it would be a really interesting comic book, too, because you do have those. It could be very serialized like that. I like that.
I would be happy with a comic book.
Yeah. I'd be happy with a comic book.
That's why I get so mad when they cancel these shows. It's like, okay, cancel it, but just give us the closing, you know?
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. I want a closing. I just don't open-end it. I mean,
And the way they did Alcatraz, the way that you'd have 2 episodes here, you'd have an episode there.
Oh, yeah, it was
2
awful.
2 episodes here,
yeah.
2 episodes there.
And they wonder why nobody wanted
and
to watch it.
No wonder nobody watched it.
Well, that's...
Never knew what it was going to be.
Well, I have a DVR, so half the time I didn't even know it was coming on. My
we
DVR.
Had to watch it. Yeah. And honest to God, thank you, Fox, because literally, what's wrong?
Keep going.
Oh, okay. Literally, thank you, Fox, because Fox can't wait to do stuff like that. I mean, they love screwing with schedules, and you're just looking at them like, really? I mean, it's kind of like NBC this year. I don't know if people know that, but they're doing Grimm on Monday night right now. If you're watching Grimm, they're going back to Fridays because, as they said, we only wanted to see if it would work on Monday. It works better on Friday. We're going back to Friday.
Okay, not.
So yay, and that's fine. Tell me, but don't move it and do.
Fox, you're always going to have American Idol, huh? X Factor.
It's
going to ruin the whole week.
Right, everything. They get in the way.
But yeah, they make money.
They give Alcatraz a chance, as far as I'm seeing.
Well, I wanted to watch Alcatraz, but I have
you never knew what it was going to be.
Well, I have a job where I work a lot of nights, I don't have a DVR. And I didn't,
Hippie Portland guy brings us really good donuts.
Yeah, you go online and you know what with it.
Well,
Well, in this case, those series are actually available on. They are legally available on Hulu in that case. But anyway,
Amazon streaming had all of the Alcatrazes because we missed an episode and you couldn't miss an episode.
Right? Oh no, you couldn't.
Because you were like, oh, well, what the flip? Why is what? And so we would have to go back to Amazon streaming to watch that so I could watch the current episode because it got messed up from football and stuff like that because they were trying to do a before and after football.
I admit that. Netflix has made me way too lazy for all that. It'll come out on Netflix eventually, or it won't.
And you know, I think that's also the other thing where I think his series are going to do very well, because I've heard people who said, I took the summer and I watched Lost. I always wanted to watch it. I wasn't going to invest the time week to week, but I took the summer. That was my summer viewing. And I'm like, it's kind of brilliant. Okay, you don't have a DVR. I'm the only person still so far without Netflix. I don't know why we haven't done it. We just haven't.
I don't have Netflix either.
You don't? Okay, good. I'm not alone.
No.
I only got it because my 9-year-old watches the cartoons on it. I don't ever watch it.
I got it because all the video stores in my town closed.
Yeah, there you go.
Blockbuster! Oh, wait, no, that was actually Netflix's fault.
That is a good question. Are we doing our own shows?
Because we aren't watching them when they're airing, and we're skipping the commercials, and the model's going to have to change.
Well,
the model can change. We're not helping.
Netflix is actually, isn't it Netflix coming out with their own show?
I think so.
Development or
they are.
Well, they well, picked up the title for Arrested Development. Right. Doing the
well, they also already put out Lilyhammer.
Which was actually good.
That was good. Well, and I don't know that we're killing our own shows. We are seeing different ways of doing the shows. And the networks or the whoever have got to start. We talked about this in Warehouse 13 yesterday. We'll get right to you.
Web content.
With content. That's why we talk about Prius and Bing and Pandora on Warehouse 13. But that's also why they've got to start counting DVR days. They've got to be counting Hulu. They've got to be counting Amazon. And they've got to. They've got to make it available in a different way. I'll watch 20 minutes. I'll watch a minute of commercials every 15 minutes if I'm downloading it. I don't care.
I know this is kind of we're way off track here at this point, but the
welcome to a panel.
Yeah. But the networks, honestly, they don't want the real numbers.
No.
Well, they don't.
The guys selling the advertising don't want the real numbers because they know the numbers that they've been working with forever are not the real numbers. It's always some sampling of a few folks, and then they extrapolate it and go, well, can we bump it up a little bit more so we can get a little bit more cash? And so that's why you're seeing, and actually I believe that's why you're seeing that the models that are being employed with like USA or any of those folks are working a little bit better because they get the cash from for carriage fees, right? That's actually from the regular networks, but they get paid by the cable companies to for their service. Plus, they get advertising, so they're kind of making the difference. They got a base to work off of, right? And if they get a hit, great. If they don't, then they're also not spending tons of money on this. They're letting the other folks produce the shows, and then they'll buy the rights to the shows, and then if it works, great. And then you wind up with something like with AMC. AMC right now is in a bind where they've got fantastic programs. Now the actors want to get paid, which they do.
Why would actors want to get paid?
There's a thing called an economy, and
food.
And food is also a necessity.
And
shelter.
Shelter.
If you're in LA, a car. Yeah.
There. I was gonna say there's not many homeless workers, actors, but there probably is. Or at least starving. There's a lot of starving actors. But so the idea is that. as someone mentioned, web content starts bringing, but the big networks don't want the real numbers. I feel that probably your USAs and those folks, they do want the real numbers because they can do it. But going back to my AMC point is that they've got great shows, they want to get paid, but unfortunately AMC, though, is still working under an old contract with a lot of people, and so they need more money in order to pay for these great shows that they wound up with. Now, they're going to have... Look at that. We talked about early a limited series run. Breaking Bad is it could feasibly go on forever. I mean, it could be Law and Order for all, you know. But... But they've decided, well, we've had enough. That's
Breaking
up.
Bad Miami.
Breaking Bad Miami. Actually, okay.
I think
let's talk later. No, and also Mad Men, also ending, of course, which has a definite ending, and they knew that they only wanted X number of seasons because at some point it's going to get old, right?
Yes.
Well, and I think
what were we talking about? This is J.J. Abrams, right?
No, we're talking about everything, and it's fine. Welcome to a DragonCon panel. But I think that is some of the issues there. And I just give you a real-life example. All the numbers on smoking for the past 10 years have been saying that they're down, that teenagers are not smoking, and people are stopping smoking and all that. Now, I know that the numbers are down, but they finally they came out with new numbers this year, and it shows every state has gone up. It's not because more people are smoking. We can walk out of here at DragonCon and know that there are fewer smokers, because I used to not be able to walk through an area where there wasn't smoking if you were outside. What we now do, though, is that they're taking the numbers not just from landlines, but from cell phones. And so it's a new technology, and then you have to explain to people why the numbers are different. That's always fun to explain to governors. Well, no, yeah, your numbers are up, but we really believe these numbers, you know? So that's the thing that you're saying.
We oh, you mean when they're surveying? They're surveying
now on cell phones instead of just landlines.
Gotcha.
Because a lot of people don't have landlines anymore.
Who has a landline still in here? How many of you, keep your hands up, how many of you are over 40? Yeah, most of you, okay.
How many of us only have it because of the alarm system our house has?
And 911.
And 911.
Yeah. I have a business out of my house, so that's why I have
it. Yeah.
All right. I didn't need to make this about the telecos either.
No, it's okay. But, I mean, I think it is an interesting way. And we're seeing it. We've seen it more and more and more and more.
Well, one other thing, you know, that is going to be interesting in the long run is that because things like Amazon, Amazon Prime and Netflix, these shows technically have a much longer lifespan. Because it used to be, possibly if there was syndication, you would see something like, in Portland right now, Perry Mason has finally been canceled. Perry Mason has shown in Portland every weekday at 12 o'clock for 43 years.
Okay, you win, because I thought that was only in Newberry, South Carolina that I could find Perry
Mason. My dad moved there if he knew that.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it just ended yesterday, because it ended in September. But, I mean, so for 40, but, you know, shows don't have that kind of lifespan, but, you know, going back to Lost, I missed two seasons of Lost because I had a job at night, and I missed it, and so I fell behind, so I stopped watching it. And then when it came time for the seventh season, I was like, you know, I liked the show to begin with. If I want to find out what's going on, I better hurry up. And so my girlfriend and I just, you know, mainlined six seasons of the show because it was there. The lifespan was there.
Well, I think that's a new way of doing it, too, is that it used to be you could only get syndication, you could only ever make money after the show was over if you went into five seasons. Now, how many times do we see the complete season on DVDs, and the complete series, and you're talking two seasons?
Yeah.
And, hey, I'm still fine. I've got my two seasons on my little DVD, and I'm ecstatic. So it is changing how we're also thinking of what we want to keep and what we want to find. And I think you had a question in the back, or did we get to it?
Yeah, you asked me.
Oh, sorry.
Anybody else have questions?
Yeah, please.
Sure.
We love questions.
Do you think that web content and using things like YouTube or having Netflix produce their own series, do you think that is eventually going to become the norm? Or do you think that the big three, NBC, ABC, CBS, will...
Are you looking at me because I'm the teenager in the group?
I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you for two reasons. One, you're a working actor.
Uh-huh.
Two, you are a teenager. And with I guess the bigger question is, are you getting a lot of? I used to be auditions. Thank you for even calls for doing just web content only or anything like that or.
I've only ever auditioned once for a web series, and it was just a little role. I pegged a guy in the back of the head with a football.
Awesome.
He had a toupee on. No one knew, and that thing was gone. it was a good shot. We love it. But no, I have not seen a lot of web content auditions. Mm-hmm. That could also be because I think a lot of those are not union at this point. They haven't gotten the backing, I don't think, of the unions yet. Or else I probably would be going out for a lot of web content because there's a lot of web content stuff at this point already. I mean, right now it's mainly a lot of drama series that are hoping to be picked up or have already gotten picked up.
Well, you look at stuff like Sanctuary, started off as a web series.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or The Guild.
The Guild. Mm-hmm. I also think of Battlestar Galactica, which did their own little bits of web content. And
The Resistance.
If you did not watch some of those, you really did miss some stuff in the show that was kind of interesting to know.
To try and tie it a little bit back to JJ, which I think was a dumb person. Did you do any of the web stuff for Lost or no?
Quite possibly. I think none of us really knew what was going on when we were on set. We were just sort of there, and we enjoyed it.
Ah, okay. So they just filmed stuff.
But, I mean, I do remember seeing a guy with a camera sort of watching everything take place. So there probably was like behind the scenes footage. That was always going on, but yeah, it was a good time. It was a lot of fun filming that because people would suddenly figure out where we're shooting on the island, and so they would come and try and watch. So everybody, no matter who you were and what character you were, if you were in this current timeline or a different timeline, you were always wearing like a giant poncho whenever you're at the base camp because people with binoculars would be trying to see what you were doing, and so.
Yeah. I would have been.
Well, that was enjoyable.
But I think as far as like Will, is that the way that it's definitely going to go? It's kind of hard to tell because content is king. I mean, I think that you look at what has been the most successful thing probably that got released online exclusively at first anyway was probably Dr. Horrible. Mm-hmm. That was something that people wanted to see. And I think if it had been released anywhere, I mean, if it had been released as a short film, people probably would have gone to the theater to see it. But most of what, there are good things out there, like you guys just mentioned, that are on there, but it seems like a lot of the series on the web seem to be half-baked ideas. Because it's like,
I agree.
Yeah, it's like, hey, all I have to do is have a camcorder. Let's go out there and, let's go out there and pretend like we're superheroes with no special effects and we'll, jump down from a fence and it'll look really awesome if we shoot it from below.
Dragon Con TV.
Dragon Con TV, yeah. But, I mean, it just seems like a lot of things are half-baked ideas because the one thing that you could say that is good about the studio system is that you have to take the time to actually get...
structure.
Yeah, I mean, there's usually too much structure because you want something to not be expected to the point of where it's where it loses all of the gristle and everything that's interesting, but you do want to have enough time for it to sort of come together. And so it just almost feels like there needs to be something in between network television and the screaming id that is YouTube.
Well, and I think in a way it's, as you were saying, a lot of people who are starting it out and trying to see if it'll go. Sanctuary is a good example. Sci-Fi was behind it, but they were like, we're not putting it on. Show us that there's a reason to put this show on. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, look, here are our web numbers. Here are how many people are downloading it. Here's what's going on. And we're able to do it all basically with a green screen. So it's really kind of cheap. And then it was like, okay, then you can have a show. I think a lot of people, I think that's trying to get where we are. But I also think we're being really good. There's too much, as you said, there's too much TV. There's too much out there to watch every web series. So if we find a good one, I think we share it very quickly. Oh, wow, The Guild. The Guild came out of nowhere, and now my son is, like, addicted.
Well, the first season of The Guild, like you were saying, it's half-baked, no budget. Like, you look at it now, they've got a huge production staff.
Yeah.
Felicia's got... a dozen people like, working on it, like, aside from the cast, just like the background stuff.
And Deb had a question.
Well, do we ever think, because really we're still very much the minority that will go to the web and actually watch that content and make a point of it and schedule it in. It's like, the idea of watching TV on a computer to my parents is, completely foreign. And it's like I think it's a good idea, and I think JJ would actually do really well if he concentrated a lot of his, you know, focus on that sort of adding it to his stuff, but I don't know that it's ever going to get mainstream enough.
Well, wasn't Lost one of the first one that kind of made sure that the website had something to do with the show as well? So
yeah.
Go ahead, Tim.
No. I was going to ask if anybody had any questions. So you or reading the mind.
Just kind of sum up a little bit of. I actually have a marketing company, internet marketing company. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we do is we use all the different technologies and look at all the numbers of how to market companies. And one thing we're finding is that people, the younger generation, they're no longer having cable service anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same thing with a cell phone. They're getting rid of their landlines. So a lot of people that I talk to now, they're not even having a satellite dish or cable anymore. They're doing everything through Hulu, Netflix. I think what's happening is, as you have the baby boomer generation die and pass on, and the other generations, what's going to happen is, I think within the next 20 years, you're not going to see that media anymore.
Well, you'll still have a big screen TV. It'll just be hooked. You'll still have a big screen. It'll just be hooked up to your laptop.
Well, it'll be hooked up to the net.
It's like the only reason I have cable is I have the basic 12 channels. Because that's the minimum I needed to get the top tier internet package. So I have 50 up, 50 down, and I stream everything, all of it.
Well, and the other thing is, you were talking about how another thing we do with authors is we tell them, okay, if you want to get with a big publishing firm, go self-publish first, and go out in social media, get the fan base, and then you'll have no problem getting a big publisher. And that's what some of the people that are wanting to do movies now are doing. They're going to Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going out there putting this pre-release of this movie. And they'll go out there and people will give them the money. People are raising millions of dollars on Kickstarter to make movies now.
And RJ had something in the back. And then
way back in 1989, there was an Aliens graphic novel series. And part of the subplots was that cable TV had dropped demographics from millions of viewers down to dozens of viewers. I think that's what web.
We're getting there. Yeah. And you, sir?
Yeah, I just wanted to go back to the Abrams and do we trust him thing.
Go back to the topic.
How dare you, sir?
The ending of Lost, I was actually okay with, but the ending of Alias.
Thank you.
There you go. I mean, we're talking with the big ones.
I know.
I don't. We forget about Alias, and we forget about Felicity, and we do forget about some of them. So why did the Alias tick you off?
Well, it's just from where it went on the first episode to the end. I mean, it just felt like different shows, and the whole Rimbaldi thing. I didn't think had the payoff it should have.
Well, that was the creation of Red Matter right there.
Yeah. I mean, it just seemed, you know, that one even. The problems with Lost, and there were problems with it, even though I love that show, you could see from Alias, and when I was watching Lost the whole time, I was like, you know, I think he's making this crap up, because I watched Alias, you know, and he strung us along with that too, and then at the end, the payoff was not there, and I loved Alias at the beginning, and by the end of it, I had very mixed feelings about it, and with Lost, I still loved it at the end because of the characters. But even then, it felt like, you know, somebody who was throwing a lot of ideas out there in the hopes that somebody else would connect the dots, because I don't think he knew the ending.
I'll never watch any series he does ever again.
So you won't be watching Revolution?
I will not be watching anything he's involved with ever again, because I'm so sick of giving everything he does a try, and then you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and he's obviously making it up as he goes along, and it doesn't feel like you ever get any of the answers. It's just more questions, and it's not enjoyable.
And what about the movies, though?
I didn't like the movie either. I didn't like Star Trek. I saw Star Trek. I didn't like that at all.
Oh.
Super.
Didn't like really it a bit. No. felt like Star Wars. If I want to watch Star Wars, I'd go watch Star Wars. I want to see Star Trek.
I have to say that similarly, like the red ball when it was in Star Trek, that was the one thing I liked about Star Trek. I was like, lazy. It's the same thing, like this.
You know, Rimbaldi. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. See, now they're on my side.
I would like to go back to the other topic.
No, I'm not going to do that. Hold on a second. Yes, sir, and then yes, ma'am.
Would that be opposed to time travel as a lazy way to do things as well?
Literally, my husband, while we were in the Star Trek movie, Lost. We can do it with Lost. We can do it with Star Trek. My husband literally leaned over to me, and we don't talk in theaters. We usually do not. So if he does, that's kind of weird. And he goes, I would have loved to have gone through 10 minutes of a Star Trek movie without time travel. And I went,
they
and that was it.
Good twice. City on the Edge of Forever.
Yeah.
And hilariously, the Deep Space Nine when they went back to the Tribbles episode.
That was funny. You can do it sometimes and do it very exactly. well, but it was literally... Now, I will say it was the only way of doing a reboot. I think he had to do it that way because, as the Spock little two-minute thing said, but...
Anyway,
well, he does fan service really well.
Yeah. What he does do fan service really
is,
well.
The things you're describing from with J.J. Abrams' series
when he tries.
Is... I don't think it's just him. I mean, it's any open-ended series.
It can be,
case
yeah.
in point that comes to my mind is Heroes.
Yes.
Open-ended,
yes.
kept adding people. We started getting lost going, what? Where is this?
He was
going
to hit me because he's got a shirt that says, Save the Teenager, Save the World. And I was like, it would have been ever so much better if they'd killed that teenager. cheerleader, sorry.
But that was... I mean, I think it's just a problem with open-ended series when you don't know whether you're going to have next season, so you can't really wrap things up.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Heroes is a great example of the fact that, I mean, Save the Cheerleader, that was, when you, that first season of Heroes, you're like, this is a fun show. I mean, they're not doing anything.
Yes.
Well, the second season was interrupted by the writer's strike.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you read comics, I mean, sure, they weren't doing anything you hadn't seen before, but you certainly hadn't seen it in television.
Right.
And if they had just made that a one-season show, you know, it would have been one that lasted for the ages with geeks. But instead, you just it overstayed its welcome.
Yeah, and we have the Lady in the Pink.
Do you think that Abrams felt that he could get away with the ending of Lost, the ending, and the machinations he did with Alias because of the way X-Files ended, and the way that nothing really came together?
You know, I really want to hope that nobody is taking the ending, the last three seasons of X-Files, as an outline on how to do any damn thing.
But what about that movie that came out 2 years ago?
Series with Agent Doggett.
Yeah, I mean, I literally, and I'll get back to you. You can put it down, I swear I got you.
X-Files ended at season 5.
X-Files, that's what, you know, I gave it till 6.
X-Files 2, I want to believe it didn't come out.
I want to believe it. Yeah, I think they learned their lesson because, again, Chris was writing. We don't let Chris write. Yeah, I hope not, but I am worried that networks see that and they go, look, as somebody said earlier, we can keep pulling this out and making more money. But again, I say, if you have, I almost want, if I got to do a theory, no. But it's like, look, if I even knew you had a whiteboard in the back of the room that said, here are the 12 things we got to get done. I don't care if it takes us a season. I don't care if we got to wrap it all up. If all of a sudden they say, nope, you only got a season, I can wrap it all up in the last two episodes. I can kill what I got. But it's hard to do that, I know.
Right.
I know it's hard to do that. But
one thing I can say about Lost while you're filming, in the script, for season 6 at least, you know, while I was there, I would see in, like, let's say it was... It was the one where Hurley gave me back my rock and whatnot.
Yeah.
And that one, it actually said, the minute he gave me the rock, there was in the stage direction, check that off of your theories list.
Ah, okay, there
so
we
like,
go.
So, like, they even threw that in there for the rest of, for the, those of us filming, like, that's something that is now answered. We can check that off.
Yeah.
So they were trying to answer a good amount, but I think they also wanted to, like, go back to your question, I think they also wanted to go back and sort of give the fans the opportunity, because we all have so much imagination going into these shows,
okay.
I think they wanted to leave it a little bit open-ended, because now you can also have, like when, like let's say your kids go and watch it, because I know a lot of people,
their
kids will go back and watch Lois and Clark,
yep.
and they'll have a completely different mindset about it than you will, and then you have good conversation over it, because now you have something to talk about. I think that was also the sort of plan where, now everybody's like, well, are they in purgatory? Was it all just a dream? Is this like Inception? What the heck happened?
Bob Newhart.
Now we have.
Is it Bob Newhart?
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, at least now we have something that,
awesome.
That we can talk about still, and it's not just like, so that ended. Okay, what's next? It's now like, okay, so that ended. What the heck happened?
Yeah.
And now we are able to have conversations over.
And we've got the lady in the back. I think she.
I'm going to touch first on the your whiteboard thing. DS9 had a whiteboard.
Yes.
DS9 was the best written of every Star Trek show ever.
Amen.
It had, and literally did not know any of the cast, and except that all of a sudden I realized midway into season 2 that, holy cow, that's from...
Benson.
Spencer Breyer.
That's from Spencer Breyer. That's Hawk.
It was Hawk?
Yeah, I did not realize it was Hawk until second season.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not always the brightest.
It wasn't completely unknown. That was the Miles O'Brien show.
From Miles and Time.
They took Colomini from my favorite Star Trek and put him on one I didn't watch.
Oh, I was so bummed. DS9 was right. But as you said, they had a whiteboard, yeah, but...
But going back to Heroes and what we said in the beginning of the panel, and network involvement, I didn't watch Heroes, but because I'm a geek, I read all the magazines and articles about it. And apparently the team, for the powers that be, the creative team, wanted the cheerleader to die, because that was kind of the whole point. But NBC saw, wow, Heroes are really popular. Look at all these eyeballs. Don't kill the teenager. Don't, you know, get rid of all the people that the creative people wanted to get rid of so they can move on to the second season. NBC was afraid that, and it's also going into something else, NBC was afraid you lose the teenager, you lose all these popular characters, people are going to leave the show, and we need people to watch the show. Would geeks have watched the show? Absolutely. But they're not looking at geeks. They want the other audience, the non-geeks. They're also watching Heroes, and they might not trust, you know, the creative team to come up with a really good story. They'll think, oh, wow, all the characters want to find something else to do.
And that's why we have, what, 17 shows that are Law and Order dot Driving Con or whatever. I agree with that. I think the thing, though, is you've got to have a show that can get geeks and other people in. And if you can find that show, Lost is one of them.
Follow JJ, you know, it will suffer you. We'll follow JJ and see what he has to say.
We ain't going to.
I'll let you know how it goes and then you can watch it.
Yeah, there you go. Email me. I'll give you my email.
But people watch.
With Heroes and the whole killing of the teenager, this was also before social media had a huge impact on audience ratings and viewings.
Yeah.
So to kill off somebody, you could have that person be like, whoa, this next season is going to be awesome. Now all those people are going to watch it even though she's gone. Because she's now, they can like say, hey, we need you to do this. I didn't even have a Twitter before Disney's like, look, you got to get a Twitter. I was the last person. The 9-year-old had a Twitter before I did. Like, before I did. So, I mean, and after that, like, you know, they would be like, all right, we need you to say something about this episode. Well, with Lost, that was also right before it. But the minute Twitter became something big, everybody basically had a Twitter. Mm-hmm. And Lost had its own Twitter. And so people were able to keep up. This is like, you know, a hint or whatever. And Heroes didn't ever have that. So I think that was also a problem with those long-ending series. If you want to end a character, you need to make sure you have that, like, now social media fan base, because then you can kill them off and give someone new, and the fans will stick with you.
I would agree. Yes, ma'am.
Just in general, I mean, like, J.J. Abrams or otherwise, all these mythology shows have just been really, to me, like, X-Files, Alias, Lost. I feel like there's been a whole lot of questions that aren't answered that kind of broke my heart. And I'm getting to the point now where, like, Friends, I feel like, you know, like, Charlie Brown's football. Like,
yeah.
Really, like, you know, try and get into these shows, follow up questions, you know.
That's a good one.
Really get in,
we need to Twitter that. That's a great one.
Yeah, eventually you stop kicking the
ball. Yeah. There was just a cartoon recently that, like, a kid was reading Peanuts. I saw this blog, and they said, and their son said, did he ever get to kick the football? And they're like, yeah, we really don't want to answer that. I think you're right. I mean, I said after X-Files, I was never watching another Chris Carter thing. And I've kind of stuck with it. I really, because there was Millennium, there was Dark Skies, there was Bull and Gumman. Every time I tried to get into them, either they were canceled,
yeah,
or it literally, I could tell it was making no sense. I started Battlestar Galactica right about X-Files ending, and I remember saying to my husband, if this show breaks my heart, I will never watch another show in real time. At that point, VCRing it. I will not do it. I know. God help us.
Do we remember those? Anybody?
I still have one. Okay, we got 5 and 6.
But I mean, I think that the problem with you know, turning your back on these series is, I mean, I personally, I'm hardwired. That's what I enjoy. I mean, the endings might not be what I wanted, but it's like a relationship. The ending might not be what you want, but the journey's great. You know,
that's a very good point.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't always.
Better than 80%, 90% of what's on TV. Yeah.
I mean, hold on a second.
Watch Idol?
But hold on a second. If you keep getting your heart broken the same way, time after time after time, you are picking the wrong girlfriend.
But I mean, I think back to the. I realize this is a kind of different kind of show, but I remember I thought that the writing eventually got fairly good on the series Reaper. And that show kind of got canceled.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah.
That was a fun show.
You know, and that show had one of those where they were like, well, it could be the ending or it could not. And it was one of the most heartbreaking endings ever.
And I feel bad for the lead actor now, because every series he has only gets like two seasons and they're all good. I've enjoyed all of them.
Yeah, and I personally don't think there's ever been a worse ending to a television show than Quantum Leap. That show ripped my heart out.
Quantum Leap was awful. I tried to
talk about that at a panel yesterday of like, let's chat with Ken. Well, I have all these old teenage girls, and they have no idea what I'm talking about.
We're so glad you're smart.
But I'll personally sit through 50.
Like, they're like, what's that?
But I'll sit through like 50 endings of Lost before I go through a Quantum Leap again.
I join you in that.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what? I would agree. Because Quantum Leap was a terrible one. You know, it's so fun. It is a terrible one. As you said, Newhart, you can only do once. The way Newhart ended, you can only do it once, but it was freaking brilliant.
St. Elsewhere?
I gotta say, with St. Elsewhere, I was on it. I understood what they were trying to do, and I didn't think it was bad.
Artistically, it's beautiful, but storyline, it kills everything.
It's the equivalent of...
Well, it's the Tommy Westfall...
Well,
universe.
It's the Bobby in the shower.
That's exactly what I was saying.
The
Bobby in the shower
to get
in the last season.
That's a nightmare.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, from a Scott Bakula connection, the ending of Enterprise was also hideous. That final episode.
I don't understand why you're only saying the ending.
I didn't mind the show.
I love Scott Bakula.
Horrible ending.
I love Scott Bakula. Scott Bakula will always hold a little tiny piece of my heart.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
All I know is I thought I was going to get to see naked Scott Bakula butt, and I didn't. And I'm still mad.
I'm surprised you saw everybody else
just
on that series.
You
just
friend-zoned
him. I didn't.
Yeah.
I want to know what happened.
That's it. He did. He totally friend-zoned himself. That's just not nice.
Enterprise. I still want to know what happened to the dog.
Well, according to the film Star Trek, he got beamed
somewhere. Soon as I find him. That was awesome. That actually was...
That was great.
That was a good line. Thank God. As soon as I find him, I'll let you know.
Simon Pegg!
Simon is awesome. Yes, ma'am.
The one thing I also want to mention is somebody was talking about only thing to watch during the summer is crap, which is true. And I think that's why TNT and USA has done so well.
Oh, they've done a really,
that's
really
nice
idea.
That's the only thing to watch in the summer.
Yeah. Sci-fi used to do that, and it's gotten a little out of it.
Well, they got a little bit.
But they've got a little bit. I mean, they do have some series that only come then. I mean, that's why people say I'm Netflixing or I'm getting all the DVDs and watching all of it.
I mean, it's technically summer now, and Warehouse 13's on.
Yep. Warehouse 13. Okay, I'm sorry. Can we just pimp a couple shows real quick? Warehouse 13 is awesome. It's wonderful. Please watch it.
Looks like Heaven. Haven. I love Haven.
Haven is a lot of fun. Good. Haven is a lot of fun.
But that's another one of those, because the thing, if you don't watch one, you miss one.
You miss a
lot. You really get confused with that show.
Yeah, I tried to watch the second episode before I'd seen the first one. I'm like, why does that guy not have an expression? There has to... I paused to watch the first one.
Of course, keep Grimm on the air, because the longer it's on the air, the more Portland actors they'll hire.
That's awesome. Eventually, we will get to our friend JJ.
Actually being shot in Portland, surprisingly enough.
I know.
Is that good tax breaks, then?
Actually, Portland right now is doing better than Vancouver. We've got a couple of series there right now.
If you're filming a movie, go to Portland.
And Georgia, we give tax breaks.
And Georgia does a lot of good ones.
If you need skatepunks, there's plenty of them in Portland.
Yes.
There are a lot of steampunks in Portland. There are a lot of
skatepunks.
They'll
yell at you randomly for no apparent reason.
We were walking down the street in Portland, and this guy just started yelling at him, and he looked at me and went, ah! What? And he yelled back. Don't yell at me, I'll yell right back at you.
Home sweet home.
Alright, well, we are at time. Thank you guys for being here.
Where can people find you on Twitter?
Kenton J. Duty.
Kenton J. Duty.
Yeah. Okay.
Kenton Duty was taken?
Yeah, Kenton Duty was taken. Okay, Twitter can be a scary universe. Some guy found me at Menchie's and tweeted from Kenton Duty. That's why I didn't have one. So then I just took my first name's initial and put it in the middle, so that way.
Oh, very cool.
And I'm verified, so.
Yay, verified. And are you on the Walk of Fame today?
I am on the Walk of Fame.
Cool. Awesome. Good to know.
That's where I'm headed.
Lots of Disney girls, I'm sure.
Probably.
Awesome. But you keep...
But I do have Lost headshots for those who want a young Jacob Lost stuff. Yeah.
Sweet.
WKRP in Cincinnati. Also watch that one, although there's only one season on DVD right now.
All right, well, I'll find it.
Okay, yeah.
Andrew will help keep me updated. he's a walking trivia site. Just
woo-hoo!
This guy is great. All
right. Thank you guys for being out here. We're doing more panels. Thank you. Thank you. Woo-hoo!
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG, or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter, @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share-alike non-commercial license.